Hello, you're listening to a very special Long Box Crusade episode, the 12 Days of Crusademas 2018.
The first day of Christmas my true love brought to me, a partridge in a pear tree. The second day of Christmas my true love brought to me, two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. The third day of Christmas my true love brought to me, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. The fourth day of Christmas my true love brought to me, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. The fifth day of Christmas my true love brought to me, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves,
ten Baltimore's Baltimoring. Hello and welcome to the 10th installment of the 12 Days of Crusademas, brought to you by the Longbox Crusade. The 12 Days of Crusademas is our gift to the comic-loving podcast community to celebrate this holiday season. And we're celebrating this joyous season by sharing with you some often overlooked comic book titles that may have gotten by you in the past. Each of the 12 Days of Crusademas will bring you a new hidden gem of a comic series brought to you by our jingling all the way co-hosts until we get all the way to December 25th, the big day, Christmas Day. So today, it's all about the Weasel Skull. I'm your host for this 10th day of Crusademas, Jason Albrick, a.k.a. Weasel Skull, and here are the right jolly old elves joining me for today's unwrapping. And we're going to introduce the team leader, the founder of the Longbox Crusade, Pat DJ Christatos Sampson. How you doing, Pat? Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing great. Can't wait for that big day.
Yeah, you know, I've been outside trying to put up lights, and what I noticed is no one's out there helping me put up these lights.
Football game.
Delvin, when did you get here?
Hey. I was watching TV in the back. You said you're going to call me. Let me know.
We talked about this. I had to prepare for the show, so.
I just flat out do not like you.
Well, maybe I can change that this Christmas. You know, last Christmas, Jared, I gave you my heart.
Oh, but the next day, I gave it away
to me. With that intro there, let's go ahead and move on to my brother from my actual mother, Jared Albrick, a.k.a. the Yard Sale Artist, a.k.a. Death Probe. How you doing, Jared?
I'm doing okay. I mean, Merry Christmas to everybody, but, you know, I like being a yard sale artist. It's fulfilling, and it's unique, and it's fun, but to be honest with you guys, I always just wanted to be a dentist, so I'm a little sad about that.
Why'd you want to be a dentist?
I don't know. I'm quoting from the elf from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I wanted to be a dentist, so.
What was his name? Stanley?
I can't remember. Oh, Julie would know.
Land of Misfit Toys, and his name was... You're close on that. What the heck was that guy's name? I've got to Google.
Stand by, folks. We got to look this up.
Everyone, please hold. Please hold.
Please hold.
I got the music.
I think it's Hermie. Yeah, it's Hermie.
That's right. Okay, now that we have that settled, let's move along and introduce, last but definitely not least, you know him, you love him, Delvin the Dark Web Williams. Merry Christmas, Delvin. How are you today?
Merry Christmas, Jason. Let me say that with my man voice this time. Hold on.
It's the most pubescent time of year.
Someone's chestnuts have been roasting.
I hope my balls drop for Christmas.
All I want for Christmas is my two drop balls. Oh, boy. I don't know. We may have to edit that. We may not.
And this is what happens when no one comes out and helps me with the lights.
Don't help me with the lights. I take your balls. Yeah. And I hang them up.
Say that. I'll help you with the lights. I'll help you with the lights.
Yeah, dang. No one's like that. Okay. All right. Real answer. All right. Merry Christmas, Jason. I am doing very well. I had a text message with some friends of mine, and I can confirm that it is also Christmas time in Hollis, Queens, and Mom is cooking dinner in collard greens.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
We may have to see if we can get our hands on some of those collard greens.
Yes, absolutely. Got to spread joy to the world.
That's right. Well, as you heard in the singing intro, today is 10 Baltimore's Baltimoring, which means we're unwrapping Baltimore, the Red Kingdom from Dark Horse Comics. And I'll just give you a real quick history of the series and the creators. The series ran for a total of about 42 or 43 issues. There's a little debate there because just before the final story run, it picks up at issue 37, but the previous story run ended at issue 35. So there's a mysterious missing issue in there somewhere. Either that or they miscounted in the issue run. So there's 42 issues you can get your hands on. And most of these issues are 3 or 4 issue story arcs, a couple standalones. It's a series of mini-series, so to speak. And it was from Dark Horse Comics, and it was written by Mike Mignola of Hellboy fame and Christopher Golden. And if you've read any science fiction, chances are you've probably read something by Christopher Golden. And the art from this series was from Peter Bergting. The comic series as a whole started from a book that Mike Mignola and Christopher Golden wrote that was called The Steadfast Tin Soldier and the Vampire, and it was published in 2007. A quick synopsis of the book. So Lord Baltimore was a young British officer on the front lines of World War I. He soon learned, however, that the trenches of World War I had made it easy for actual creatures of the night, vampires and such, to return to Earth and move around amidst the chaos and the destruction. And his platoon is actually wiped out in the initial series by a flock of vampires, and Baltimore fights back, and he's the sole survivor, and he actually wounds a vampire named Haggis, who sets out on his revenge against Baltimore by killing Baltimore's fiance and his family and friends, which in turn sends Baltimore into a spiraling vengeance against all the creatures of the night with his thirst for vengeance for Haggis. So this is kind of the backdrop where all of this action takes place. I chose this issue because it's actually the first issue of the final chapter of the series. And up till now, most of these independent series were him fighting witches, fighting werewolves, all in his pursuit of Haggis. By the end of his pursuit, when he finally kills Haggis, it turns out he awakens something even worse, which is where we come in on this final series arc. I wanted you lads to start here because it has several of the characters that I've come to love along the way. Some of them include that Judge Rago character, Hannity, Sophia, and Sergeant Kidd. You can jump on here and follow the story. And if you like, you can go back and read all of the stories leading up to this. And since they're kind of miniseries, they're kind of interchangeable. You can kind of pick them up and read them in almost any order. So this issue introduced the final showdown between the forces of good and evil. And Lord Baltimore, he'd been missing for 2 years as the world is on the brink of destruction. And Baltimore's friends, Hamish and Sergeant Kidd, are fighting on the front lines and giving the good fight. But without their leader, the end really appears close. As we see at the end of this first issue, however, Lord Baltimore is alive and ready for the final battle. Some of the main reasons that I love this book, every issue of Baltimore delivers thrills and chills. If you could kind of envision Captain Ahab directing his rage against witches, vampires, and werewolves, you have the gist of what this book is about. The art is creepy, action's always epic, the characters are cool as hell. Plus, you got World War I plus monsters. This hits all the sweet spots for me. I hope you guys enjoyed it, had some fun reading it. I've been talking a lot, so I'll shut up and just ask you, any of you read this series? Delvin?
Dude, I've never heard of the series at all, period.
Okay, cool. Jared, how about you?
Same here. Never heard of it.
All right, Pat.
Yeah, I like the song Tarzan Boy from Baltimore.
I almost took that joke.
Even my own brother resisted it. I set it up on a tee, and he's like, no, I respect my brother too much to take this. Pat's like, I got this. Whoa, 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 whoa.
No, I have never heard of this at all either, this particular series.
All right. So what'd you guys think of the issue and concept? Delvin?
That cover was, keeping in mind that we try to keep cursing to a limit here, it was scary AF.
I like that cover.
And the question that I kind of wondered was this picture taken from outside Baltimore's Inner Harbor? It's a Baltimore, Maryland. I'll keep going. So it's definitely a twist on, well, no, I was going to say it's a twist on the stuff you like. I know you like the historical fiction stuff, but you do like the historical fiction stuff with the twist. You and Jared both kind of like that. So this is definitely up that same alley. I thought the artwork was good and distinct. I kind of had a question, but I think you kind of answered it in your synopsis, but I re-asked just to make sure. Baltimore is the person that they think is going to be best to defeat the Red King. Yes?
Yes. And you don't actually see him till the end of this comic. This one really introduces you kind of to more of the supporting characters like Hamish and Sergeant Kidd.
So that's okay. Who that guy at the end was then.
Yes, that was Baltimore.
I picked up that it was Baltimore, and the person that they sent to go after Baltimore was Rigo?
Yes, Judge Rigo was a character came around kind of midway, and he was part of...
The Inquisition?
Yeah, the Inquisition.
Inquisition. What a Inquisition.
Yeah, so he started out almost like
go away. Because the Inquisition's here, and it's here too. Hey, what do you think? I just got back from the Order du Fay. Order du Fay? What's the Order du Fay? It's what you ought to do, but you not do anyway. Haven't you ever watched that History of the World Part 1?
Yes, but I haven't seen it in a long time, so I don't know the words to the song.
Anytime I hear that word, I have to sing it.
Well, we all know what to avoid for us.
All right. So it was the Spanish looking into things that they found suspect and punishing people that they suspected of doing funny things. So Judge Rigo was one of the new members. He kind of started off as a villain, like a religious punisher. So he and Baltimore butted heads, but by the end of this, he kind of softened his edges a bit.
So it's kind of like a cleric from that movie, that Christian Slater, Equilibrium.
Yeah, Equilibrium, the cleric.
It was Equilibrium? Yes. Yeah. I did remember. So he's kind of like a cleric.
That was Christian Bale.
I said Christian Slater. That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's okay. That's what it was. But yeah, something like that, actually. And so these are kind of like allies that he'd gathered up during his adventures.
I think I provided all the comments that I want to provide. I really enjoyed that artwork. And man, just the story was dark. And not in a bad way, just like, but I mean, reading the first couple of pages was like, okay, the tone is set. This is not going to be one of those happy books. Got it.
You know, my humor, heart, spectacle, art theory, there's not a lot of humor.
Yeah.
And the humor that there is dark humor. So, remarks complete from you, Delvin?
Yes, sir.
Pat, what did you think?
Well.
I'll just get it out of the way for you.
Jenga night.
You good?
I'm good. I guess so, yeah.
All right. You think you'd like to share, Pat?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to talk about the Inquisition.
No.
No.
Inquisition. What a show. Inquisition.
Here we go. Win all your wishes. Really so. Being on the other side of Jason.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I always dread my 12 Days of Crusade storms.
I agree with Delvin that starting to read this, it was pretty dark in the beginning. Well, actually, through the whole thing, I was kind of at a loss. So I was really looking forward to knowing a little more background on this one and why you chose it to understand it a little bit better. I didn't know who Baltimore was, and you never see the guy until the end. I don't know who these other characters are or what they're doing, what's happening in it. So I was kind of lost through this one. So I was kind of wondering if this was part of the Hellboy universe at all?
It is not part of the Hellboy universe, at least as far as my understanding.
Okay. And did you say before it was based on something else?
It started off as a book.
Okay.
The book was called Baltimore, the Steadfast Tin Soldier and the Vampire. That kind of launched a series of miniseries. And this is actually the last chapter. I wanted to expose you guys to as many of the characters as I possibly could. And this one had the widest selection. So that's kind of why I started it here.
Okay. I think the art was really good, and it definitely helped set the mood for this particular story. I was kind of wondering who this Rygor or whatever this guy's name is.
Judge Rygo.
What he had to do with it, and then all these other evil, I don't know, are those the other judges or whatever they call themselves? Evil? Are they good?
I would say that they started off fanatical, but by the time you get to this chapter, they've softened up a little bit because, as you could hopefully tell from the story, the world's on the brink of apocalypse. The armies of the North, so to speak, you know, to use a Game of Thrones reference, have breached the wall, and at this point in time, World War I differences are settled. All the countries in the world are united, and some of these folks that have had petty differences or rigid beliefs in the past have had to come together and soften their edges a little bit so that they can form a cohesive defense against the armies of darkness.
Yeah, speaking of the armies of darkness, kind of like the concept of having, you know, the evil like vampires and just monsters and all that, and just the normal kind of army people trying to fight them down with just their normal weapons. Kind of interesting.
Again, another one of the reasons that I picked this book, and I'm kind of skipping ahead to my part here, but since you asked, I really like the character of Sergeant Kidd. This book features him an awful lot, and that kind of gets to what you were alluding to, just having this really bad A sergeant taking on all of these vampires and witches and everything was just really cool to me.
Why would you have interest in a sergeant that well, missing something?
If it makes you feel any better, Baltimore himself is an officer, and I think he's pretty cool too.
Aw. He's probably not like Delvin Williams, space major.
Space Force major.
Space Force.
Space Force.
I'll save you.
For more on that, see the OHMS Pod episode on Moonraker.
That's about it for me.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Pat. Jared, what are your thoughts?
Very similar to Pat. I was highly confused throughout the book. Somewhat came together. Your explanation at the top of the show really helped. The art was very interesting. It was unique. It was very Mignola-esque, I would say, actually.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Down to basics. Good coloring work throughout. But yeah, the jumping on point was odd, and I couldn't help but make parallels to Stephen King's Gunslinger universe with his Red King and all that. It seemed very similar to that. We had some bleeding over of fiction monsters with our real world life, and so I was like, oh, this is highly reminiscent of this. I'm interested to see if he ever pursued any litigation against
Stephen King's a hack.
That's fairly similar, but not totally in the same vein, and I was very much on board, just like Delvin alluded to, with I like wacky stuff, and soldiers versus vampires is a cool concept to me. I wish there had been more of that. Now, I understand they couldn't do a whole book of that. They had to build the bigger story. I get that. So yeah, it was definitely an interesting read, and I will leave it at that.
Okay. Well, it sounds like maybe I should have started you guys on an earlier series or something, but like I said, I was like, I really want to jump them in here with the big battle sequence with all the supporting characters and everything, but
no, dude, I thought it was a good selection. Really did. And dystopian, like some of those creatures that are coming up from the ground, I was like, freaking scary. Like, I mean, legitimately, like, wow.
Like driving through Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, right? How in the heck...
Crimson Tide.
How the heck would you fight those things now in 2018 as opposed to 1918? I mean, it was to 1920s, but still, just the odds were insanely stacked against them. That was just crazy.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I really liked about it too. And you guys know I'm kind of a history buff, and I'm a big fan of World War I. And in all honesty, I think historically speaking, as far as wars are concerned, you can't get much more hellish than what soldiers went through in the First World War. To have that as the backdrop and that being like, hey, this is just a taste of what's to come. And then you start sprinkling in witches and demons and, you know, things that look like they come out of a Lovecraft novel. This will be my final defense before I rest. This is just a perfect blend of historical fiction, monsters, and the characters in here are so cool. The character of Baltimore, which unfortunately we didn't get to see a lot of Baltimore in this issue. I hope the issue kind of set up how big of a deal he is. And that's kind of what I was hoping, you know, that all these supporting characters would lead you to see how important he is in this desperate fight, which he kind of inadvertently started. This is a character that has endured so much and like literally lives only for revenge. And in fact, at one point in one of the stories, his heart is revealed and the heart is made of tin and it holds the wedding ring of his lost love. And that's really, you know, kind of emblematic of the character. This is all that drives him. His discipline as a soldier, his thirst for revenge, and the thirst for revenge of his love. I think that, you know, just makes for a really cool read. And I'll rest my case there, fellas.
No more questions.
All right. Now I'm nervous. I'm not feeling the love from Pat and Jared.
I don't know if you gave us enough information in the backstory there. Could you expand on that?
I can't tell if you're joking, because I will. I'll keep going.
I'm joking. It was very thorough.
Did I miss something?
I've never seen Jason so defensive.
I don't think you guys like my book.
Sometimes you gotta eat the filler, you know? Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Let's rate your interest in
the
series.
Not everyone can be a Legend of the Shield, you know?
Oh, I see some revenge. There's revenge on the horizon.
Are we re-gifting? Is that what this is?
No, you tell me. You brought this one.
All right. So let's rate your interest in the series using the official Crusade Myth candy cane scale. On a scale of 1 to 12 candy canes, 12 being extremely interested and 1 being no interest at all, how many candy canes would you rate your interest in pursuing more issues of this title? And let's get it over with, Jared. How many candy canes are you going
to
give it?
Let me just start by saying historical fiction with monsters in it is good stuff, which brings me to a book called Hamilton versus Burr.
Oh, here we go.
Aaron Burr.
You know their stories.
I love it. You guys do the promo for me. It's awesome. No, I'll be honest with you. When I first read it, I was like, going with Delvin's no cursing, I was like, WTFs, man. I have no idea what's going on here. The only thing I really liked was the soldiers fighting the monsters, and I didn't quite get what was going on. It did initially feel like a Stephen King Gunslinger universe parody, we'll say. And so I was not looking favorably upon it. I was like, we're looking at about a 3 or a 4 here. Now, having said that, I did not realize it was such a big part of, you said like 30, 40 issues?
Yep, about 42,
like,
I think.
I'm like, okay. For some reason, I had the impression this was like a 4-issue mini. And like you were saying, though, they're made up of multiple minis, I guess. So maybe that's why I felt that way.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, yeah, if this is a miniseries, I am not interested in pursuing it. So I was like, nah. Now that I know that and you've explained it and I've got some more grasp on it, I am much more interested. So that 3 that I had going into today's episode, I'm going to bump that up to a 6. I would say if I stumble across it in a quarter bin, I'll pick it up.
All right. I'll take that. Pat, what did you think? Go ahead. Hit me in the feels, my friend.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Jared on this. I am at a 6 as well. I think knowing a little bit more that this is like a bigger story going on, I kind of wanted to get a little bit more of that understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so your explanation made a lot more sense in what I've read. I was wondering if that Rygor guy was like a bigger guy than, you know, to me, you seem to be like a cooler guy.
He is pretty cool.
I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay, fair enough. Delvin, what do you think?
Man, you guys are a bunch of Scrooges. Where's your Christmas tree? I mean, you know, Jason came and brought this gift from afar, you know, like, you know, a single wise man. There's not 3 of them, just 1 of them. Yeah. I give it a 9. I give it a 9 or 12.
Wow.
Factor a couple of things. I understand this is what Jason likes, and I do appreciate him sharing that. But I really did think the art was good. I know the name Mike Mignola. It was a dark book, and it's not what I'm used to. I'm used to, you know, more of the flashy superhero type books. So I think it's, for me, a palate cleanser, and I liked it. So I give it a 9 or 12.
All right. We have 1 gentleman and 2 Scrooges amongst us today.
I don't think you're in Scrooge status unless you go under half candy canes. We're at the border.
right. Well, thank you, fellas. And that will wrap up today's gift-giving session of the 12 Days of Crusademus. We'd love to hear from you if you're familiar with any of the comics we cover here on the show. Or if you give one of our recommendations a try, let us know what you think. So you can reach us at Twitter at Longbox Crusade, Facebook at Longbox Crusade, or you can email us at contact@longboxcrusade.com. We'll compile all the feedback for all 12 Days of Crusademus and cover it in the next full episode of the Longbox Crusade. And if you're loving Crusademus and didn't get a chance to listen last year, if you scroll far enough back on our feed, you can find all 12 episodes from Crusademus 2017. Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to come back tomorrow to find out what the next gift is from under the tree here at the festively decorated Longbox Crusade Studios. Until then, DJ Cristados, play one of my favorite Christmas jams.
Is it that time again? When snow will be falling, friends will be calling. I know it's time when there'll be careless singing. Silent night, I love when you sing.
All songs, song clips, and characters discussed are copyright of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. We make no money on this podcast, and it is for entertainment purposes only. We are just fans that like to share our love of comics.
How's the shower?
It was a slippery, wet, wild affair.
Not sure I'm supposed to be part of this conversation. I was taking advantage and updating the 12 Days of Crusadeness script.
I don't use a script. I do it live.
Yeah.
Scripts are for suckers.
Scripts are for tombstones, baby. I was just saying that that one of the quotes I'm going to start using is P-O-T-T-P. And when I'm ready to go, that's pants off, time to podcast.
Okay. Are we releasing anything besides Crusademus?
I don't make the release schedule. I make the recording schedule.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just thinking. That's why I'm asking.
Samson makes the release schedule. You want to talk to him?
We're releasing the Kraken.
Exactly. You better have that Kraken released, Samson.
Oh, my Kraken's already released.
Oh, no. Oh, his pants off and you start the podcast.
I didn't fill the whole thing out. I went through like the brief history of creators and stuff like that. So that
you
I
lazy son of a
Baltimore.
All right, here we go. Places, everybody. With a rock on the stage like Freddie Mercury. I'm still hyped up from Bohemian Rhapsody. Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality. Open your eyes.
Look up to the skies and
chance. So. All right, here we go.
I'm just a poor boy.
No, I never got to jump in. I'm sorry. Easy come, easy go.
Little high, little low.
Anyway, the wind blows. Sorry, go ahead, Jared. Take it.
No, no, that's quite all right. I was just laughing about how we feel compelled to finish things like the entire freaking Three's Company.
You know me, man. You get me singing some Queen, we'll be doing this all night. All right, here we go. I'm going in 3, 2, 1.
Bicycle.
Damn it, Patrick.
I want to ride my bicycle. All right, I'm going in 3, 2. I want it all. Damn it. Discipline 007.
Give me the prize.
Just give me the prize.
See your kings. Let me squeeze blood in my hands. Your puny princes. I suck the leaders from your land. All right, here we go.
My thoughts on this. Well, as I began to agree with Delvin, it was kind of getting pretty turdy.
You dropped out.
Huh?
You dropped out.
That's weird because you guys are dropping out on my end.
No, you're dropping. You guys are dropping out on my end.
I'm not dropping out. You're dropping out.
You're dropping out.
Oh, you're dropping out.
This whole damn world is dropping out.
And we out. We out.
Yeah,
Uncle Scrooge, mother. Y'all never liked my book, never.
wait, didn't you bring
Red Star?
No, yeah, I didn't like that one either.